This is Pranks and Firth. You have tuned in because you have heard the news. Welcome, listener, from the World Service.
You sound Justin, like an old-timey. So
that's what I was trying to do. Over there in the thick of the action.
Rocky Marciano lands a left hook here. Oh, it's devastating hook here. The people are cheering here.
We go over to Justin Pranks at Madison Square Garden.
So here we are for the debut flight of the Zeppelin. A beautiful big airship there. It's taken off. Oh dear, it's blowing up there, the humanity.
That's quite low key.
Oh, it's blown up. Back to you, Ash. Let's do loads of historic disasters like that. I'm here in front of the Twin Towers.
We go over now live to New York City, where Justin Pranks is just hanging about.
Well, Justin. Chaos here, Ash. At approximately 8:17 this morning, a airplane crashed into a tower. What's that? Something falling down. I just caught it. It's an Iraqi passport. Can we go and invade Iraq? Did you hear my joke?
I'd like to hear it.
Why don't we build the whole plane out of Iraqi passports?
I've only ever heard you talk about that conspiracy. I don't know anything about it. I've never heard anyone.
You don't know anything about anything.
No, that's true. Yeah. Right. And now we go over to Justin Pranks, who is at. I'm not going to use that one. Why does that one keep coming into my head? Stop that intrusive thoughts. We go over
and
to...
residents surrounding Auschwitz are complaining of pollution. One woman.
No, moving on, we've gone to another area.
I can't even put in my washing out.
We go over now to Normandy. Justin Pranks is on the beach.
Get back on the boat. Mistake, error. Halfway through this loosely termed bit, I realise I don't know anything about history.
Yeah, it's very difficult because all of the ones that are coming into our head are lots of children die?
No, I did say disasters, to be fair. And here we are at the Bangkok Surfing World Championships.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
He's still going, that bloke. Mad.
Yeah. Here's the thing. If the world is round, as you and all the other sheeple fucking just believe.
Yeah.
Because, dude, your fucking mate tells you.
Neil deGrasse Tyson. He's the one who shares so much with you. Anyway, carry on.
How come a wave wouldn't just keep going round? Where does it stop?
Well, energy is...
Well, how come the Earth's spinning round? Where's that energy going to run out?
Yeah, it is going to run out. 100%.
Do you know about quantum entanglement?
Yes, I had it.
Right, I know.
I think I sat down very hard and then I got some quantum entanglement. And they've never been.
Do you like having your nuts tugged really hard and squeezed?
You keep going back to this. Huh? No.
What are you saying? So, hey, listen to this, right? That's my nickname, is Tug Nut. Do you know that... can we talk about CERN?
Sort of gentle pulling, fine.
No,
gentle squeeze.
No, I don't want any pain at all.
No.
I'm going on Tinder looking for a bell ringer, mate. I want someone that can yank that shit.
A crampinologist, is that what they're called?
Yeah, crampinologist.
Ding dong, Justin's coming.
Ding dong, let's make your balls long. So, Jason. They're building a new one. Do you know they're building a new one? You know they're behind the Mandela effect, they reckon.
So since CERN is where it all started?
Yeah, since CERN is when the Mandela effect all started.
Okay.
And they're deliberately doing it.
I'm really underwhelmed by the Mandela effect. I'm going to be honest. You know when you look into it, it's like, oh, Pikachu's tail doesn't look like that. I'm like,
the Monopoly
guy. I want it to be massive ones.
Well, the thing is that if you think of controlled opposition... The reason it's called the Mandela Effect is that's the least believable one. Like, it's called the Mandela Effect because we've apparently got this collective misremembered fact that Mandela died in prison. Well, I know he didn't because I watched the 95 World Cup and he was there.
Yeah, well, I feel the same.
That's the worst. But I think that's deliberate.
Any of them are deliberate.
That's deliberate.
Real.
They've deliberately...
I can quite happily believe that the guy from Monopoly doesn't have a monocle. Mm. I don't care. It doesn't feel like that's a big deal to me.
Hmm. No. I know, but but they start with small deals.
The biggest one? The Mandela one, I did like exactly the same. I didn't think he died in
prison. Holocaust.
That's a Mandela effect.
Oh, no. Yeah. Yeah, sure. Yeah. Some people think, when I say some people, I mean Astrid.
I don't care about Pikachu's tail.
Pikachu's tail isn't black. That's the Mandela effect. Everyone remembers it having a black tip. When apparently...
Yeah, but I wouldn't know. If you said to me, what colour's his tail? I went black. He went, no, it's actually yellow. I'd go, oh, okay.
Yeah, but you're hip and cool. You're not a nerd.
No, I'm not hip and cool.
There's other ones. I've never...
Oh, you know, Looney Tunes is spelled... L-I-N-B-Q-R-V-H.
Do you know the big one is there was a film, and this doesn't apply to me at all.
I do know this one, yeah.
Shazam.
Sinbad.
Sinbad was in Shazam, and apparently it never existed, but everyone thinks it does. Did.
No, I don't. Again, I don't believe that.
So I had Shazam. Right, listen to this. I used to have Shazam on VHS. Seen it. I've seen Shazam. And about... 19 years ago, I was in my bungalow where I lived, and knock on the door, two men in dark suits and aviator sunglasses said, we've come, do you know about your neighbour? I said, there's all police cars everywhere. I said, what? They said, your neighbour, would you mind stepping outside? So I came out. They go, could you tell us your neighbour? What was his comings and goings? This house has always been empty. So the whole time, I said, I don't know anything about my neighbour. So anyway, I looked round, and one guy... was in my lounge. So as he walked out, he's nodded at the other one and they've walked and said, thanks for your time.
Mm.
Right, and left. Fast forward 18 years, I hear about the Mandela effect, the Shazam. I said, I've got that on VHS. I can't find it. It's gone. Okay. I'm just saying, I don't know what to say.
I've never met a single person who
is as redacted as you,
who thinks they do remember Shazam.
Oh, I had it on VHS.
But then this, look at that thing for who's that Aziz guy? You know the guy who
the rapist.
Well, no, because he wasn't. But
okay, yeah, but you know what I mean.
So he was accused of
that's what
something,
I meant.
And then nothing came from it, I don't think. And then
nothing came.
He does this show where he talks about that, and then he says, but then there was a lot of misinformation. So he said something was said, and before you know it, I've been accused of this, 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 and this. And then he said, but it's not just me. He goes, think about that guy who made the pizza, and they put a they knew it was a Jewish person that was on the phone,
and they put pepperoni swastikas.
Pepperoni swastikas.
What's the glaring mistake there?
Well, they don't eat Nazis don't eat pepperoni.
Well, there's that.
But then he gets the audience, it's like 1,000 people or whatever, and he's like, put your hands up if you think the guy did it on purpose. Loads of people put their hands up. He says to the guy in the front row, like, why do you think it's on purpose? And the boat went, well, you know, it just seems like it's far too it's too obvious, you know. There's no way
too much of a coincidence to be
And then he says other people say no, it's not. And then some people are like, no, I don't think it was. It looked like it didn't quite look like a swastika. And then after all that, he goes, it wasn't real. I just made the whole thing up. There was no pizza. There was no.
Yeah, that's what Piers Morgan did. Not him specifically,
but
he was.
Then and it's like, fuck. And he said to the guy, like, I'm not blaming you. You just went along. But you literally just said there and said that you'd seen it and it looked like a Nazi swastika.
Mm.
And he's like, and that's what I think happens with Mandela effect. If someone says, oh, yeah, I remember Shazam, I don't believe they do. I think people just think they do. I don't think they don't think they do. I think they're just like...
Yeah, so let's say that it's not... Let's say it's not Cerner going back and just changing minor things one by one to
let's
point.
Say that.
Let's just say that. So
let's say they're not starting with Pikachu's tail.
Yeah, let's just say that. Is it then interesting in a collective consciousness that maybe our consciousness between individuals is more linked than we like to believe, almost like a magnetic field, like Wi-Fi.
Well, like, I still absolutely think that. Like, I
well,
think
yeah, well,
then
it could be that then, couldn't it?
Yeah, it could be that.
Because it is collective. It's so many people.
But are
think
we
that,
just
that,
searching for more connection than exists? Because I kind
there's
of think,
ones
yeah,
that
there
don't
must
matter.
Be. Like, there must
say,
be more.
Like you said, Pikachu. Obviously, I don't know anything about Pikachu. But like, I had to go back and look at the Monopoly guy and go, fuck, he hasn't got a monocle. No, he has got a monocle. It's the Pringles guy hasn't. One of them has and one of them hasn't. I think the Monopoly guy has. And the Pringles guy hasn't, or something. Okay. But yeah. I sort of thought they were the same person. That's the thing. They've got the big tash, haven't they? Honky with a big tash, and I've conflated the two, I think. But we all have. But then again, isn't it like that thing where, I don't know, it's something going on. We're more connected than...
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. And, like, animals certainly are. Like, you know, like, if you think about a murmuration of starlings, there's no way that that is just, like, verbal communication. So
well,
there's
no,
something going
but
on.
They know, no, but the starlings, that's the thing. But do you know what? You've just... That... I think is the perfect model of how, not conspiracies, you know, like, so like, you know, like one person would say, oh, this is all a conspiracy, and another person think, oh, it's just a sequence of events. Starlings is the perfect depiction, because at a distance, you see a flock of starlings, and they look like they've all sat down and gone through the choreographed plans of
moves,
how
the, yeah.
But, each starling is just reacting to the one next to it. So, a plane.
But on a super. I was going to say superhuman, but you know
super
what I mean.
Macro level. No, just very right. Twitch. They're all just reacting to the one next to them.
But maybe we are. Maybe you
exactly.
are.
Exactly. So I'm saying a plane hits a building, and then Halliburton. Oh. You know, all these things click into gear. Like with a pandemic, like there's a new virus.
Oh, I do not deny. I do
yeah,
not
so
doubt
the people
that
even that make the
slightly.
Masks, the people that make the masks react to that. The people.
But that's
that make
how
the
people
vaccines.
Make money on other stuff by that instant reaction that I don't even see.
But if
you know, like,
but if we put the two together, Ash, sorry to interrupt, but like, so you've got,
no,
so
you interrupt.
So you've got everyone that reacts to the immediate thing. So me and you make testing kits. COVID comes out. We slightly bang out the testing kits. Then so many people are now getting tested. So the people that make the masks start manufacturing. And all these things happen in isolation, but as part of a collective. Now, that collective consciousness to all profit and maximize and make the best out of a situation or a crisis or whatever you want to say, that might be a vibration frequency that certain profiteering...
Yeah.
Capitalistic lizards.
Well,
that might
switched.
Be what it is. Do you see what I'm saying?
But, yeah, I do. But what's the difference between that and you going into a ridiculous situation and going, oh, I'm going to exacerbate this because this is definitely funny?
Definitely. Well, that it's like I've said to somebody else. What did I say
oh,
to
yeah?
you? No, I can't remember. Do you know that the blue car thing, right? Did I say that to you?
I remember something.
So if I said to you, how many blue cars you've seen today? I've said it before, I think. And you go, I don't know. And then if tomorrow I said, for every blue car you see, I'll give you £10.
You see them all.
Well, you notice. And life's like that. You can go through life only seeing the negatives. You can go through life only seeing the positives. You can go through life only seeing opportunities to make money. You can go through life only seeing reasons to not make money. You know, we all know these. We all know in our lives these
but
people.
But I don't feel like I react to any of those, but you're absolutely right. I think that
no,
is
but yeah,
exactly
you do,
it. But
you do.
Then these people, are maybe that's how they get to these positions. Like MPs, maybe they have a sort of general setting of...
If you're going through life looking for only opportunities to make money... Then
or go up a ladder
whether there is a mass incidence of positivity or negativity, you will see everything as an opportunity. Yeah. So these people that are looking as everything as an opportunity, they don't see the pandemic as a negative. They see it as an opportunity to profit.
Yeah, how does this affect me? This,
I can sell hand sanitizer for 10 times the
market
value.
Like being a psychopath.
Yeah, of course
you
are.
The only person. But okay, so let's just put that back to comedy then.
Yeah.
Because I think, right, and this again might be absolute bollocks. Tell me if this is bollocks. But we've spoken before about people who are, you meet them and you go, they've got the stink. They'll be on telly in 2 years' time, regardless of how good they are or how good I perceive them to be or their ability, like, or the actual room reaction, which is really the bottom line.
So but you those know, people, this has all been worked. This is the thing, what you understand. This has all been worked out before by other people. Now, in, I'm not going to say mythology, but you're aware of the term shapeshifter.
Yes, yeah.
They, if you think about the stink, and this has only occurred to me in the past 2 weeks, because I think about these things all the time. That stink, that quality, they all have in common.
So just to see, you know, the stink, we mean like someone who you
someone
meet who's
you know they're made. They're,
yeah,
they're
and
golden.
They haven't even started.
They're on a conveyor belt, and you can see they're on it, and you don't know how they... It's the shapeshift. That is the quality they've all got. The shapeshifter's ass. So me and you are in the green room and say I was the one with the stink, the shapeshifter, and we're talking about how the pandemic was bad, and then someone, the commissioning edit from the BBC coming in, I completely switch and become... I'm like this... Is it amorphous, nebulous blob that change... there's no me there. I am.
But yeah,
this...
it's like, but that's the thing. They're constantly reacting to
they're
that
like
situation.
Water. But then adopts the shape of whatever vessel it needs to be poured into.
I don't think there's necessarily a problem.
No, it's not.
With it
it's
to
not.
A certain extent.
But you know, when someone walks in the green room and I talk to them and their energy isn't, oh, this person is called Bill Smedley, he's ABC. It's, oh, this person is called Bill Smedley. They are whatever they need to be in life. They're shapeshifters. Yeah. And that is what the stink is. I really believe that is what it is. I can now see it in people like up front and center. Like,
but how... I still don't understand how... Because I see people who don't get laughs and they're not as good as an established stand-up.
Yeah, but they're
and
shapeshifters.
Yet they are
signed, so if you think...
If you're,
If you're a gatekeeper recruiting people, you want shapeshifters because they will be malleable.
I wonder how...
Oh, Ash,
convey,
Ash.
How they even get in front of them.
Yeah, but Ash... We've got this, we want, right, I've got a TV show and it's about sausages. Yeah, I know you're a vegan. Now, you're no good to me. You need shapeshifters. That's what they are. That's what a shapeshifter is. They are, there's no backbone.
And they're
there's
so,
no principles. They've got no principles.
They're so, like, disposable. That's the other thing.
Their principles.
They're so massively disposable. Like, their turnover of these guys is huge.
Their principles are disposable. Like, this month, it's this. Next month, it's that. And shift their shape.
Yeah.
They shift their shape.
Like, people-pleasing, but on a macro level.
Yeah, it's more like... It's just succumbing to the mob.
I've seen people... So there's a way of conveying that then, because I've seen them not do well at clubs and then they're still gaining Instagram followers or whatever the... You know, that's mostly...
Oh, I've seen them die on their arsehole, then stand at the door as the audience leave with a QR code.
Yeah.
For people to... And I'm thinking, did you not know? But then this is the thing. Like, so you could be on stage... And someone could be shouting out, there could be a problem audience, a problematic audience member. And one act sees that as disruptive. And the next act can see that as an opportunity. That's what I'm saying about the, that's what I'm saying more about the kind of like how, like looking for the cars, you know. Like, so if you go on stage and see everything as an opportunity to make a joke, you can't be derailed. And this is what positive... Like I said, positive mental attitude doesn't mean you go around like the village idiot just grinning and thinking everything's brilliant. But, you know, so you've got a person shouting out, where's the scope for this? You can see everything as an opportunity. It can be positive. It doesn't just have to be lizard people selling their masks, is my point, and vaccines, do you know what I mean? You can go through life seeing everything as an opportunity. And
I totally agree. Yeah, I really, really, really see that because I see people react and me not react. Like, even if you think about the beginning of lockdown where you saw this massive jump of people, and some of them have stood the test of time and are doing brilliantly, but where it's like, I'm going to go on, I'm doing Twitch. I'm doing a character on Twitch. This is me now. I'm doing this. And it's like, wow, 3 months in, I'm like, oh, hang on a minute. Oh, it's already too late.
So this is what I'm saying. So this is what the shapeshifter will do.
But they were ready to go. They were like their brain had gone right on this.
Yeah, the
same as like cryptocurrency and all that. People who make millions of pounds off Bitcoin. Mm. I was like, oh, Bitcoin. Yeah. Well, that looks. Oh no, too late.
Well, no. That might be your my approach to anything like that is with deep negative skepticism.
Oh yeah, no, I know. I was just using it as an example.
Yeah, yeah, but like I see. I hear of a new thing like Bitcoin and just think I'm going to lose my shirt. That's the way I look at everything.
But I think there are people like, and there's like, we could probably name people that we know that I think are bad at shapeshifting.
Like, yeah, but so the shapeshifter sees it as an opportunity. So you're a vegan, right? Now we're in the green room. The commissioning editor, the commissioning person from Live at the Apollo, comes in a green room. Let's just say, and they're eating a bacon roll. The shapeshifter, the one that's got the stink on them, would. Oh yeah, that looks delicious. Oh my god, that looks so good. Whereas you wouldn't, because you're a vegan. But these people with the stink would. They see everything as an opportunity to schmooze.
Yeah, well, you hear it, don't you? My dad used to be... my uncle's a pig farmer. He loved killing them and chopping them up.
Yeah.
It can be that kind of nonsense.
It can be, but they see everything...
Who the fuck are you?
So
who the fuck are you too? It's what you... I have it sometimes in a green room where I'm like, what the fuck is going... What are you talking about?
Yeah, it's just that... desperation to
but
to
then
connect.
You see, you know, when you've got the headliner. I had this the other day, actually. I did a gig and there was like a big TV headliner and then an act who was not sort of poor but not great, a new act, right? But when the headliner came in, the conversation they had was like they were on a level. You know, where it's like, you got where you were there. Oh, yeah, well, when I was in that room, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, you're pulling yourself up to their level.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I guess you can go through life and every time you see a... What I perceive to be a hurdle, someone else might perceive to be a rung on a ladder. I guess that is it in a nutshell, isn't it? It's like, oh God, I've got to get over that to carry on. With like, oh no,
but
I
then we've, see, we've got different outlooks in, to certain extents because I will be nice. I don't, and this sounds derogatory. I'm really not being derogatory, but I will, my default setting would be to be pleasant and
fake.
Accommodating.
Yeah.
And your default setting would be sit, wait, see what happens, and then deal with that.
Yeah, I think that's... I have seriously thought about my conduct, and it's not an affectation, it's just how I am. And I guess what it comes from is I don't need
validation. No, I don't think you're wrong.
I don't need validation.
Like, you're walking into the room, like, there's no reason why. Like, I would say that I would be probably more friendly. And not more friendly, but like more outgoing in terms of conversation in that situation than I would want to be. Mm. I genuinely, my dream thing would be I turn up, I go on stage. It depends on whether I like who's on the bill. But if I didn't know anyone, I would turn up, go on stage, and then I would be at home. I'd walk off stage into my lounge.
That happens very often for me. But the other thing about it is the thing is in comedy, I think I've annoyed people in the past by being funny off stage, and some people like it and some acts don't like it.
But what about people who are trying to be funny off stage for their own gain?
Well, I can't help it. I just, you know, if I'm in the green room and someone says something, I'm like it in life. I will say a funny quip.
Yes, but what about, you must have seen it. Oh, what about, Jesus Christ, give him... this is a difficult one as well. People who give notes to someone.
Yeah. Mm. I know one person after. That's known as the note giver, and I've just randomly, I hope this isn't too much clue so you can guess who it is, they also are a voice note person, not a texter. So I've been with two acts that have gone, oh, I've got a voice note from beep, and they've played it, and it's been the same advice. Ugh. The same note to two different people.
Yeah. Ugh.
But
I can't imagine. Like, I think I might say, have you thought about, like, you come really close, you talk about this, and you
I don't. I'd
this.
Say it to you. I'd say it to, there's a circle of people that I'd say it to, and it's not crab in a bucket. I don't want them to know my note. It's not worth the risk. It's not worth the risk to go up to an act that you don't know that well and go, is that okay? How are you with taking notes? Or I would, in the past, I would ask.
Yeah.
I've just noticed.
I said there was an act.
That could be a callback to that.
There was an act who's sort of a bit of a lower level TV act, and he did this bit. I'd only just started, and he did a bit that there was such an obvious thing to say, and he didn't do it. And afterwards, I went up to him and I was like, you know, when you say blah, have you ever said blah, blah, blah? Mm. And he went, oh, yeah, well, maybe I might try that. I might try. But I could tell he was like, absolutely not. I'm not going to. It's rubbish. And I was like, nah, I'm done.
If I had a bit of material that wasn't quite landing, and anyone, even you, someone I know well,
dead,
or a stranger, if anyone came up and gave me the greatest note of all time, I'm pissed off because I can't do it.
Well, you've given two bits. I remember one definitely. And every time I said it,
you die inside.
I knew it was. It was like, it was just one little line. It was like an analogy. It's like, it is like blah blah blah. And I said it, and I said it for a while. I didn't stop doing it. But every time I do, I go,
it's not mine. Not mine. It's like, you know, like
friend of the
store...
podcast, Matt Adlington said, have you ever said this at this point? And the first time I did, it got round. I was like, oh yeah, that makes sense. Said it, round of applause. It's like, yeah.
But I would have to not do it. It's not my applause.
No.
I'm so needy. I don't want to do. I don't just want to do well. I want to do well.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. Totally don't.
I want them to go, oh no, we agree with everything you think, Justin. Not, oh yeah, but that wasn't me. That was someone else. And the person that uses.
Yeah,
a
you
rider,
come out and you go, I'd like to just thank Matt Adlington for the topper on that joke there. If that's.
That's
all right.
The thing that since doing comedy, I can't even. It's so difficult to tell a joke. Like I can't say any like. I'll be in a social situation, like with my in-laws, and we're sitting there, and I'll say something. They'll laugh, and I go, yeah, that was Jimmy Carter. Like, I have to, like, I can't take it. Yeah. Even in, like, we're sitting around in a fucking, do you know what I mean?
Well, I've done it before, like, talking about something you've said, and it's, like, almost ruined the story by going,
yeah,
so
no,
a thing
it's
that Justin Panks said to me in this situation, it's like, yeah,
full credit.
I've said it, it's like, oh, you've lost it. There's no point saying it now because I was listening.
So, yeah, it's...
Well, I did it the other day, didn't I? Where you said about punk. That was such a good point. Where you were like, it's fucking ridiculous when someone says to you, look, these guys are in their 60s, so keep the swearing down and keep it clean.
Mm.
And then that you said, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, those people were teenagers in the 80s.
Mm.
Pogoing to punk, and now you're saying they don't like rudeness or swearing. And that night, someone said, "Oh, you've got to keep it a bit clean. That like, these are people who are in their 60s, blah, blah, blah." And I went, "Well, speak to Justin Panks," and he pointed out the fact that these people were in their teens when punk came. But I had to do the whole thing
disclaimer. But the thing
Justin,
about that is...
this isn't... I didn't think this.
People think that you look at a 7-year-old and that's the same 7-year-old from when you was a kid.
Yeah, the same.
Like they haven't moved
70
on.
Is 70 is 70, yeah.
Yeah, I'll
be 70 one day and I still want to hear a comedian say cunt.
Well, the thing is now, the irony is, or the topsy-turvy world we live in, the puritanical ones now are the under 25s. I look out into a crowd and I see someone genuinely scowling at me, it's some young slag.
Yeah.
So fuck them. But CERN, getting back
and also, they love it. The older people, when you tell them that you are not. I don't think you are 60 and you are scared to hear someone say fuck or talk about sex.
Yeah.
I'm going to treat you like an adult. Mm. You get such a response from those people.
Mm. I'd
but
like
sometimes I think that they are expect... Like, I think sometimes they're like, oh, I'm shocked because I should be shocked. But
no,
if you remind them
anymore.
That they shouldn't,
I mean,
be...
The only things that shock people is... Like, there's, look, right, there's blue and there's dark. And I guess you can have dark blue.
Well, I told you about last week, a few weeks ago,
yeah.
Where person nosedived a gig into the cliff.
Mm. But
I was shocked. I was shocked. I thought it was fucking brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not... I don't obviously do comedy. So so it means I've it doesn't mean, but as a byproduct, I have consumed all types of comedy. I haven't seen every second of comedy ever produced, but I think I've seen more than
caveat.
You what? Sorry.
What a weird caveat to say?
Well, no, but I'm saying I've consumed all comedy. I don't mean I've seen everything like an oracle, but I mean I've seen dark.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's listening thinking, what? He hasn't seen every minute of content that's been produced.
Yeah, well, but when I said all comedy that I meant, but I don't...
some comedy.
I don't discourage or out of hand dismiss someone taking risks like some people do.
No.
Like I've heard, why would you talk about this? I'm like, the part of me is like, yeah, it's okay, what... It's not what they're talked about, because you can, in theory, talk about anything. It's
if you're
how
funny
they've done
enough.
It. They've just missed. They've missed. They've missed. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, why go for that? Like, it's like, why go for... I'm trying to think, like, you know, on fucking...
No, I know,
the chase,
you're right.
On the chase. It's like, why go for the 10 grand instead of the 1 grand? It's like, it's harder to get, but I don't automatically think it's a bad decision, because it could pay off. And... Frankie Boyle was the funniest guy in the comedy sphere when I started in this country or Britain, you know. And he was the biggest risk taker. That's just how it was. And obviously you get a lot of bad copycats being... And the thing about... The thing where people are hypocrites, oh, yeah, but you haven't got the skill of him and you're clumsy. He was clumsy in Route 1.
Yeah,
and,
of course.
Yeah, he was very... But he was unapologetic. His energy was unapologetic. Then you've got open.
How he
you've got
managed
open...
to then get up to where he was presenting like Channel 4 mainstream TV stuff.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It does
because it was popular. It was popular.
He was incredibly funny, incredibly popular.
Which is the thing: the machine listens to the feedback. The machine doesn't. When comedy, when any art form, right? And I'm not saying comedy is an art form, whatever. Goes wrong, it's when the machine tries to get ahead of...
When they're not listening to the feedback. That's where we're at now.
Exactly. When they go, oh, no, we're going to make a brand new Snow White, but Snow White's going to be a feminist and Prince Charming's just going to be a nobody and we're going to... And then that little woman went out and... Did you know about the Snow White thing?
No.
They had this... I think she was Hispanic, this little actress. Can't think of her name. She played Snow White, and it was going to be this new Snow White where she was a mean bitch what kicks ass and don't need no man. And Prince Charming was like the dickhead. And she was going on all these junkets on the red carpet and slagging off the story of Snow White, going, oh, it's, you know, it's very definitely a 50s story. It's really weird that he would kiss her and she'd be looking for love. And there's such negative... backlash and reaction to her basically shitting on a well-loved story that they scrapped the whole thing, and instead of little people it was Snow White and the magic seven magical, do you know what I mean? It was like Snow White and the seven magical people of varying heights, I don't know, whatever, but do you know what I mean? Like, so they sort of like, she came out, so that is the machine. And Bud Light sponsoring Dylan Mulvaney is the machine trying to shape the desire of the mob, but it's always the other way around. So they, back then, before there was an agenda for like whatever, Frankie Boyle was popular. So they put Frankie Boyle was elevated by the clamour to see him. Whereas sometimes you feel like the machine is doing it the other way around. Do you know what I mean?
I think that's definitely the case now. Like,
and it never works.
I think it's a lot at the moment. It's a lot about throwing as much shit as you can.
But it's but it's like, oh, you know. So this is the thing about those shapeshifters. Going back to that, so the machine looks around the comedy circuit and sees somebody who is a nebulous shapeshifting non-entity. That whatever vessel you put them in, they're the ones that they want. That is the stink. They are just pieces of clay, malleable and moldable, and
1% of them.
Because as you said, and there's no two ways about this, and we've been in so many gigs, we know this to be, it's fuck all to do with laughs received. If you had a laughometer that measures the decibels and records your laughs over your whole lifetime, like a car's mileage, like if every, like the people.
Oh my
people,
God, imagine that. Imagine like if you knew you were coming to the end of your laugh quota.
Well, no, it was like how many laughs you got on the clock. The
Can
people,
I build it up?
The people that are picked by the industry have got less.
Yeah.
But 100%. That's not what it's about.
No.
So you go into comedy thinking it's like a... Comedy's a cross between an art and a sport. I've always said this because you don't know the outcome. And there's a specific outcome. Do you get a laugh? Do you hit the bullseye in
this
dark?
Is the thing that's so frustrating. Mm. Not frustrating. Oh, it's difficult to even say.
It should be a meritocracy.
Subjective.
It's
subjective.
It's quantifiable.
What's the word? Quantifiable. So it's so quantifiable, there should be no doubt. It's like saying, it does happen in football. It does happen in football because you go, Arsenal lost 3-0 to Manchester United, but their XG, their expected goals, was actually 5 to Man United's 2. So basically Arsenal won. It is that, isn't it? It's like their XL, their expected laughs.
Yeah, well, you think about giant killing. So, like, you could have, I'm trying to think of someone, you could have Halifax beat Man United in the cup once. Yeah. If they played 100 matches, Man United would win 95.
We are dealing in an XL scenario.
Well, you're talking about comedians that are pushed on telly, which are... The giant, like, they never get laughs. It's so weird. In America, some of the ones that, I'm not gonna pick the usual suspects. There's the obvious ones that comedians go, that wasn't supposed to be like a comedy special. That was more like a one woman show. I'm talking about Nanette, which isn't funny, but I don't think she was trying to be funny. I'm gonna go that far. It was like a humorous something.
It's like, who said this was a comedy?
Yeah,
Morris did
comedy
that with
special,
Blue Jam,
but it's definitely not an extended club set. Yeah, you know I mean, it's not like I'm not gonna draw the walls in. So that's a different thing. But the ones they pick and they push down your throat, and people, the thing about, like I said, it's a cross between a sport and an art. You go out there and no one finds everything funny, but on the whole, if you've got 100 people in a crowd. And if I'm watching the crowd with an axe on, if 95 are in stitches, I think this person knows what they're doing. 95 out of 100 is pissing themselves. That's a solid, dependable person that knows what they're doing. But 99% of the time, and I don't know if this is just my bias, when I see an act and 5% of the crowd is kind of find it amusing, 95% are like, what the fuck are they on about? They're the ones that seem to be going on.
It's... But do you think those 5% are the ones who are the vocal...
Yeah, yeah, I said moaners. They're the ones that... They're the gobby ones that...
They can make you because they're like, I want to see more, whereas the others go, oh, that was good. I'll never speak or talk about that ever again.
The thing is, in everything... Like, take professional critics out of it, all right?
Because that's true.
Comedy is the only thing, sorry, where the people that don't like it, we listen to them.
Yeah.
Like, you know, a professional restaurant critic is banging to food and they go there and they're eating at, you know, Gordon Ramsay's new restaurant in Dubai and he's comparing the beef Wellington to the other beef Wellingtons he's had at Michelin. But like people that go to comedy... That don't like comedy and dragged out, criticise it. and we listen to them. It's insane if you think about it. It's insane.
It's so quantifiable. This is what I'm saying. I cannot understand it.
But the woman,
because it's so quantifiable.
There's a Karen that's dragged to the comedy club. I used to get it a lot at Covent Garden. Get all sorts of people there, and there'll be a couple, and they've come down from Leeds and they're in London for the day, and they've gone to comedy. Now he might love comedy and she doesn't, but she's vocal.
Yeah, she can go.
She's
online.
The one that will stop you and go, "Oh, well, yeah, this isn't funny." I'm like, I wouldn't go to. That's not as insane as if I went to Disneyland with a family.
Said all this was bloody cartoon characters.
But
it's disgusting.
Trying to spoil it for the kids. Going, this isn't really Mickey Mouse. You're not Mickey Mouse. This is shit. You're an outworked actor like that, in a suit. Like, while they're all. It's like.
I'm in work. I've got this gig.
Yeah,
son of a bitch.
That's the trouble with comedy. People that don't even like comedy go there and say they don't like it, and it matters. Just fucking don't come. Yeah. Like, you wouldn't go to. Like, if you went to see Metallica, right? And they were having an off night. Like, you know, like, I know they're also, everyone now is like fucking.
They'd never have an off night, would they? Bloody Metallica.
Well, I was saying back when that Hetfield used to drink, you know, like, you know what you hear these stories that, like, oh, he was drunk and out of time, yeah, and he played two songs.
Never made
and
it
left
through the set, yeah.
That's one thing, right? You can complain about that because you didn't get what you were promised. But someone who hates heavy metal wouldn't go to Metallica and just be like, this is shit. You're like, well, you just know that you're in a place, you know that you're in front of something that isn't for you. But like with comedy, people that don't like comedy will say, oh, that comedian was shit. Do you see what I'm saying? There's a difference.
Yeah.
They didn't make me laugh. It's like, yeah, but that's, you don't like comedy. You're not a fun person. You don't like laughter. I can see it when people try not to laugh. People make up their mind about me. Oh, look at this. I know they don't think this, but cisgendered, white, straight, middle-aged, able-bodied, not coming at everything like a victim, saying things I don't agree with. He's the enemy. He looks like someone that would manspread. And then 5 minutes in, I'm saying something they do find funny, but fuck me, they hate it. They're covering their mouth. They're looking down. Yep. They're trying not to. And I'm thinking,
we've all said it, that thing of like, no, 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 you don't get that both ways. You don't get to go, oh, and laugh. You don't get to laugh and then go, oh, no. You don't get to do that. It's not fair.
And at what stage did comedy... this is the thing where it's inconsistent. Comedy in some ways has become like a political rally where, oh, I'm going to listen to someone that I agree with, right? Like, you go and watch an off-the-wall comedian who's like all kooky and got a different worldview, and you don't have to think like them. But like, if someone's talked about politics, why have you got to agree with them to find them funny?
No, that's bad to me as well.
I don't have to. I can listen to... I used to watch... You know, I could watch Mark Thomas. Or I know that's a really dated reference, but, you know, I could watch him do a skit or a stunt back in the day. That was like outside an arms manufacturer. And I don't know. I don't really give a fuck what I think about the issue. I don't understand this need for agreement.
That's very strange. Yeah. That is very, very strange.
You know,
it's like, it depends, but when you get what is conceived to be, like, let's say right wing, say Jeff Norcott, who says, oh, I'm conservative, right?
Mm.
Then it's almost like you go, oh, yeah, he was quite funny considering he's conservative. Like, what are you talking about?
I see, because like, I know, you know, his new thing he's doing is bought out a book and he's doing a tour like the bloke had to be a bloke or whatever.
No.
Jeff Norcott's now had to be a bloke, and it's like, a bloke's different to a man. A bloke's like a, probably like more like what I described. Someone would look at me and go, oh, he's just a bloke.
I don't think he's a bloke. That's weird.
No, but he's, you know, that's, anyway, I saw a thread on Facebook where someone said, what was it about? I think someone was asking about critics, like who are the sort of like current big names in comedy critics? Like, you know, we've got Brian Logan. It used to be Chortle, but whatever.
I wonder what Chortle would make of these new guys.
Well, see, this is the thing. This Steve Bennett of Chortle, yeah, has gone the same way in comedy that I think Jermaine Greer has in feminism. Whereas in the 70s, she was the poster girl for the uber frontier.
She's dead,
No.
Mandela effect. Mandela effect.
Yeah. I'm eating 100% chocolate. Oh my God, it's so strong. I'm eating 100%. Oh God, it's so strong. And a black coffee. Just if you want to know what's happening.
Has that been delivered to you? Is that why I heard the clink?
Yeah.
I
WhatsApped and said, any chance of a cup of strong black coffee and some 100% chocolate? I feel like I need to replenish some stuff.
Some stuff.
So Steve,
your cocoa levels had dropped, had they?
So Steve Bennett would say, "Oh God, old school, old guard. I'm championing the new guard of Stuart Lee over Roy Chubby Brown and what's the other bloke's name? He loved him, Daniel Kitson over Jim Davidson." Now it's progressed to the point where now he's the old guard, like his guys are the old guard.
Yeah, like he's going, why can't we be more like Stuart Lee and probably Daniel Kitson?
But anyway, the point is someone said, and someone put, oh, there is X, Y, and Z are more likely to, like the blokier, they used blokier as a word, as an adjective, I guess. No, not as a noun. The blokier, and I thought, oh God, that's what people would say about me. But that's just everything that negative, I was just blokey, are all things that I've got no control over.
Yeah.
Which is the golden rule, which you shouldn't judge someone on, isn't it? Isn't it? Isn't it, Ash?
Well, I tell you what, I'll keep going to comedy clubs and making people laugh and getting booked and having a good time.
Have you? Serious note, I've never asked you this. Never asked anyone this. So, sort of thing that I might be in a more reflective state of mind for whatever reason today. Have you ever looked at the potential future of your comedy career and reconciled it? Like really come to terms and peace with it?
Of where I am and where I could be and what I...
I've got a saying that I've adopted in the last... Since the pandemic, I've certainly been more appreciative. More of this is my saying.
You say life is like a box of chocolates.
It is 100% and quite gross. But you've got to just get through it. No, what it is, that was good, wasn't it? That is life is like 100% chocolate.
Yeah.
Just grimace and pretend you're smiling and get through it. But I've got this saying, more of this. So if someone said to me, what would you, like, you know, the classic interview question in an appraisal that we don't get. So you work for a big company, RBS, right? The big company in Southend. And every 6 months or whatever they do in jobs, they sit you down and go, what do you want in the next 12 months? Like, as a comedian, I'm at the stage now where the answer is just more of this. I don't want to have to stop. I don't want another global pandemic where I can't do this. I don't want to have to get a job. I just want more of this forever until I can't do it anymore.
But why is that frowned upon? I've said this right.
I don't think
it
is. And if it is, the only people that would frown upon that are the shapeshifters.
Yeah. Like I've said before, the only time I've ever regretted that was when I clearly absolutely blew an opportunity to earn some money writing some stuff.
Yeah, well, there's again.
I said the truth.
But that's
the
thing.
The truth.
Exactly. But doesn't that just prove everything I've said?
Yeah, no, Dad.
You didn't see... If you go through life thinking... If you're looking for red cars, you notice there's a mad amount of red cars.
Yeah,
if you were looking for an opportunity...
I didn't see it.
Yeah, yeah.
I do regret it, though, because I would have liked to have done the thing.
But at the time, would you have to shift...
You ever thought about doing any writing for TV? No, I just like doing stand-up. Oh, okay, bye. Bye, then.
That's because you had a... Albeit it might have been very... Not officially, but you had a kind of roadmap of what you wanted.
Yeah,
and you didn't...
Yeah.
Shift your shape. This is what I'm saying.
And now look at
imagine...
it. My shape has shifted on its own. I'm fucking huge.
You are massive and your hair's going, bruv. But you think, like,
it's going.
Go back to that scene. Change you for any one of the acts you've seen with the stink on them. And you know they would
Well, they'd have already had some stuff written.
Well, they'd have been... And if they hadn't, they would have said they had. Because A, they see everything as an opportunity.
I think
and B,
time where the
and
guy...
B, if they are a square peg and they see a round hole, they will just tell everyone how round they are.
I'm quite mad. What about just a sort of slightly different version of that? The comedian that pretended he had some weed on him to get with.
Yeah,
the big
and then someone said, "Oh yeah, can I have some weed?" And they were like, "Oh, got called out, didn't they?"
He patted himself down like he had it on it. Like he was like, "Oh, hang on, I think it's oh, where's that weed?" As soon as that happened, I thought he hasn't got any weed. Or because the guy was like, "I don't smoke anymore." He's like, "Oh yeah, I just smoked some on the way over, actually." And he's like, "Ah, go on then. My wife's away. I'll have a quick puff." And he went, "Oh, where's the weed? Where's all my weed? Nah, I can't find." And it was so horrible. It was horrible to watch. Just like, "Oh my God, it's obvious he hasn't got any weed."
So in conclusion, can you just try and see things as opportunities?
I'll try a little bit harder.
So if you're on stage and some woman is shouting out and it's annoying, it's an opportunity to have fun. It's not disruptive. If someone says, "Do you want to write for me?" It's an opportunity. Say, I'll definitely think about it. The thing is, you don't have to commit to everything in the instant. Are you guilty of that?
Yeah, I'm massively guilty.
Yeah,
of that,
I
actually.
Used to be.
Because I used to think that would be the end of it. I'd never get that opportunity again.
Or, yeah, you think I've got like, now or never, like the trains
leave. Even with gigs. You know when it's like, with gigs, it's like, "Oh, I don't know if I can do it." Like a specific gig, "Can you do this?" It's like, "Ah, I don't want to say no to them, but it does mean telling my mum I'm not going to see her that one time that I'm only going to see her once in 3 years.
Like the last 12 months, I've got so much more hard-nosed with that.
Same.
Well, I've had to, because we now, like me and my partner, we don't earn one penny from anything outside comedy. There's nothing coming into this house.
Yeah.
So, you know, I go to people, "Oh, I'm sorry, I can't do that gig. I'm getting paid twice as much for a gig that's an hour closer to home." And I used to sort of, I don't know, I used to think people were doing that as some sort of power play or
no, I'm there.
I can't afford not
something
to.
Changed in me not that long, like fairly recently, where it's like, you know, it's actually quite powerful to go, "Nah, I can't do it."
Do you know what I think that is? That is when you start like the way a baby bird breaks out of an egg and there's a tiny little ripple and then a crack. I think that is us emerging from a shell of imposter syndrome. I think we're just starting to go, "No, I can do this. I'm quite bankable. I'm not lucky to be on the stage. They're lucky to have me.
It's quantifiable because when you go to comedy clubs that, you know, are big rooms and you do well, it's the same thing. It's like, "Oh, he's a big game player, footballer, he's a big game player." You can rely on him to do well in that big game. He's not shrinking away, whereas some people do shrink away in that situation. Well, you know, quantifiably, I do well at this place. I know I'm not shit. Basically, when I apply for a gig, I should say, "Hey, I'm definitely not shit. You might not like me."
That's negative. I wouldn't say that. You're just too squeamish to say I'm good. Saying I'm not shit is an old trick. I don't like that, actually. This is a wise old head.
Okay.
So that's a myth as well, actually. Sorry, you didn't phrase it that way, but well done for not falling into that pitfall of, you know what, when the chips are down, he rises to the occasion. He doesn't. It is that all the others shrink. And he appears to rise.
Like my erections.
Yeah, like if you lose weight, your hog will look bigger. You're a big old hog, don't you?
That's why I'm putting on so much weight.
Well,
I need it to look a little bit less intimidating.
Okay, I'm going to let you into a little hack, life hack. We haven't had a pranks life hack for a long time. Get some skin-coloured Speedos that are about 10 sizes too small and cut a hole in to put your cock through. And then, like, stick some pubes on the front.
Yeah.
That is the old... I call that the pullback and reveal. That's what that is.
Oh, it's looking very big. Yeah.
That's why you've got no arse, because you've got a pair of them on.
They're so tight.
The pubis corset.
I'm nearly in half. You know, like, when you see a tree and it's had a chain put round it and the tree grows?
Or grown through a railing.
Yeah, that's
you in every item of clothing. even a smock.
My body is growing through the railing of my underpants.
Your
my
tits
skin
have
colour.
Grown round a smock.
No,
I'll tell you what, mate. All jokes aside, and maybe I'm in a more of a reflective mood, I would suck your tits.
Thanks, mate. Thanks.
Would you stroke my head and tell me everything's going to be okay while I'm...
While you were nippling me off?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You'd nurse me. You'd nurse me back to good health, wouldn't you?
I might as well.
Yeah. So, anyway, long story short, we're the best at comedy.
I think so.
Yeah. And CERN, can we get back to CERN?
I don't think we can now, unfortunately. I think we're going to have to leave CERN for the next episode.
Okay, I'll do that. I'll do that. We'll talk about that behind the paywall because I've got some fucking Mandela effect. That's all. That was me.
Some real dirt on CERN.
Yeah. One word, Ashiva.
Lovely stuff. Well, listener, thank you for listening. We're going to be back in 2 days' time. That's always the case, unless it's the weekend. Does that count?
No.
No. Okay. We'll be back. Thanks for listening. We love you.
He does. Ash does. I'm not sure yet.
I was talking about the listeners and me to you.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, that's fair enough. Unrequited.
Oh. Bye, listener.
I feel like we need a more upgraded word. Unrequited sounds like something a knight would say, doesn't it? Can we have a more modern update on the word unrequited?
That's your homework for this week.
Yeah, listener. Yanis is our... German's got a word for unrequited.
Oh, Ben, it has. Yanis, what's the German for unrequited?
It'd be something like one-way love.
I was going to say non-reflective admiration.
Yeah, yeah. All of these are the phrases I've said to my counsellor when we've talked about my parents. These are like the bingo card.
Oh, no. Oh, God. Anyway, love you. See you later.
Yeah. I was thinking of something pithy to say at the end. I've drawn a blank.